Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Father, bless this holy book now tonight to the hearing of the people, and give me unction, my Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Every generation has to deal with the world it lives in. Every culture, every union, every state, every nation, every empire, whatever and wherever you happen to be. We just happen to be Americans in 2016 here in the North American continent. Now, make no mistake, people are listening to this right now that are in Australia, that are in Russia, that are all over the world. And so this message is not limited to America, and it's not limited to East Tennessee by no means. But the bottom line is that we live in a country that's changed drastically. And sometimes you need to understand the forces arrayed against you and how bad things are getting in order to understand where you are and where the coming of the Lord is. A lot of people profit when it comes to prophecy. It's like the Wild West. Prophecy is definitely like that. I mean, people say anything. They say some of the wildest things, write books, put them out, you know, make their money, and then none of this stuff happens. And, you know, people are discouraged when they read the books, and they get discouraged, and they quit going to church, get mad at God. Maybe they got fired up with some prophecy teacher. He had them all worked up, and then all this stuff just came to naught. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get you worked up over some date or some event and make you think, well, the Lord's going to come before 2016's over. I'm not going to do that because I don't believe that. I don't know when he's coming. He may come in 2016, but I don't know that. I don't know that. And I'll be honest with you. I've been cleaning my bookstore, my office out. I've gotten rid of a lot of books. I've probably gotten rid of, my hands couldn't reach them. These paperback books on prophecy, they come along and I've had them for 25 or 30 years. I've thrown a dump truck load of them away. They're just junk. Garbage. That's all it is. Just garbage. Just garbage. And I've been collecting books back there for 40 years nearly. And you can imagine how many books you can collect in a 40-year period of time. And when I first started buying books, right after I got saved, I didn't know a good book from a bad book. I didn't know a good book from junk, put it that way. I bought a lot of junk. And, I bought a lot of junk. I was searching, reading, trying to find out what's going on. And so I, being the pack rat that I am, I kept the junk. But the other day, I got rid of it. Got rid of it. It's gone. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want anybody else reading it. It's just junk. I had one book that said 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Come in 1988. I had that one. Yeah, I did. I got that book. I've been around a while. All this stuff comes along. I'm there to get it, you know. I thought, okay, we'll read this. I read all of his 88 reasons why Christ was going to come in 88. You know what? Christ didn't come in 88. But these people, for the most part, are not repentant. Sometimes they'll set another date. They'll say, well, I miscalculated this or miscalculated that. So the message tonight is not to get you worked up to think that because of the contemporary circumstances that the rapture is going to take place here and now or this month or this year. But I am going to try to give you something tonight to show you in concrete terms how bad it really is. And we need to know that. And you need to understand, if you're a parent in here tonight and you've got children, how many have children? And you've got grandchildren. I've got grandchildren. You need to understand this is not an overstatement. This is not an overstatement. You are living in a culture that has an overbearing government that's going to take your children away from you if they possibly can. They are directing and dictating what your children learn, who their friends are, where they go, how they're treated medically, how they are treated psychologically. And the psychological profession is probably one of the most sinister of all. Because the power that these people have, a lot of Christians don't realize that in the last 20, 30 years, your liberties have been eroded greatly, greatly, greatly. And so I'm going to start off tonight with a little essay by Linda Kimball, just to read a few words for you, of what she has to say about a governor in Massachusetts. Now, this man is a Republican governor. And here's what she said. Now, this is from Mass Resistance. They reported in Tuesday's elections in Massachusetts. The article is dated March the 2nd, 2016. That's pretty current. She's talking about liberal GOP Governor Charlie Baker and his political team are conducting an unprecedented large-scale statewide campaign to purge all social conservatives from having any significant voice in the state party. Stop for just a moment. Let's get our bearings. A lot of the politician runs on the basis of two things: social issues, economic issues. You will find that a lot of people that you agree with economically conservative, they are conservative economically, but they are rank liberal socially. In plainer words, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them and a flaming progressive liberal Democrat. This man right here is one. Not a dime's worth of difference. Now, he may be a economic conservative, but when it comes to the social issues, and what are we talking about with social issues? We're talking about so-called gay marriage. We're talking about the LGBT, whatever it is, rights agenda. We're talking about this stuff that's going on right now. And it is moving apace, and it is building its strength like a snowball. Now listen to this. Here's a quote. All the targeted people are pro-life, pro-traditional marriage. Baker is pro-choice, pro-gay marriage. He strongly believes the future of the Republican Party and has surrounded himself. He strongly believes that that is the future of the Republican Party, pro-choice, pro-gay, and has surrounded himself with like-minded people. He finds the presence and activity of conservatives embarrassing and counterproductive to the party's direction. Social conservatives are fine as activists, but they must be removed from the party's decision-making and policy positions. This is reported in Super Tuesday election, Massachusetts Governor GOP establishment, purging party of pro-family conservatives, Republican establishment at work, Mass Resistance website. And you can check with that if you want to. Pro-choice, pro-death, pro-gay, pro-sodomy, lesbianism, pederasty, transgender, Republicans like Baker are of a mind with deep pocket, godless Republican donors and equally godless progressives like Obama, Hillary, and their funders. According to Ted Cruz — this is not an endorsement of Ted Cruz, this is only a reference — according to Ted Cruz, this is why billionaires who write the giant checks that fund President Obama and Hillary Clinton and the Democrats don't despise the radical gay rights movement or the radical environmentalist movement or all of the people that knock on doors and get Democrats elected, because they are of one mind. On the other hand, because much of the Republican base is faithful Christian conservatives, and it is, who still believe that the Republican Party in mass represents your values and what you believe in. Because much of the Republican base is faithful Christian conservatives whose worldview is in direct opposition to the godless worldview espoused by Republican donors, they are actively despised. Quote, I can tell you, when you sit down and talk with a New York billionaire Republican donor, and I have talked with quite a few New York billionaire Republican donors, California Republican donors, their questions start out as follows. Cruz, first of all, You've got to come out for gay marriage. You need to be pro-choice and you need to support amnesty. This is from a billionaire Republican donor. That's where the Republican donors are. You wonder why Republicans won't fight on any of these issues? Because the people writing the checks agree with the Democrats. And so it goes. Now, Ted Cruz is saying that this has been his experience with the very, very rich elite Republican donors. You wonder why the Republicans control the House of Representatives and they control the Senate and they haven't done a thing to counter Obama's agenda since they were put in office. How many understand that tonight? This is why people are lining up by the tens, hundreds of thousands, and they're mad, and they're going to the polls. They're voting. They're breaking all kinds of records for voter turnout. People are voting that have never voted in their lifetime because they think there's somebody up there now that is speaking for them. Now, I want you to look at a couple of things tonight. How many of you know that the state of North Carolina just recently passed a law that was signed into law by the governor of North Carolina that said that we don't want men in the women's bathroom? Now, you would think something like that would be okay, wouldn't you? Pardon?
Everybody would say, amen.
Yeah, right. They would say that. But the fact of the matter is, the people pulling the strings in this country want that. They want to destroy the very foundation and base of America so they can remake it. This is not something that's going to come down the road, folks. This is where you're living right now. North Carolina legislature. Let's see here. I've got it somewhere. North Carolina. Here it is. North Carolina legislature, the General Assembly, decided to pass a law preventing cities. This was in reference to Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a liberal city with a liberal mayor. General Assembly passed a law preventing cities from barring LGBT discrimination, creating transgender bathrooms, accommodations, so forth and so on. The state of North Carolina, the legislators, voted to stop the idea that a man can go into a woman's bathroom. To put it in simple English, that's what it means. And the governor, McCrory, signed it into law. Now, here's what happened. Now, this is the bigger message tonight. It is not the issue that's going on the front lines in the culture wars. How many's ever heard about the culture wars in America? You need to hear about them. If you've got a child, and you've got a grandchild, you have a prime target of this government. I'm telling you tonight, I've been around a while. They're going to take your children. Now, they may not take them out of your house, but they're going to take their mind. They're going to take their soul. They're going to take them and they're going to make them into a global citizen and the kind of citizen they want. Now, listen to this. Let's say now the state of North Carolina voted. The people in the state of North Carolina, these people represent the people, these local legislators, the state legislators, state senators, the local governments throughout the country, all 50 of the states, they represent their constituency. They have all these people that put them in office. The grassroots people in this country, for the most part, the working, hardworking people in this country are still decent people, folks. Believe it or not, they still are. They still are. It is these agitators, these activists, and the ACLU that's pushing this stuff that get all of the exposure and are doing all the devilment. Now, it doesn't stop there, though. This is the sad part. North Carolina passes this law. All right. You think that'd be it. That'd be the will of the people, right? Isn't that what a democracy is about? The will of the people? Listen to this. On Wednesday, as the bill was being considered, Dow Chemical, Biogen, Raleigh-based software company Red Hat all opposed it. Others have since added their voices, including IBM, American Airlines, PayPal, and Apple. Apple CEO Tim Cook is openly gay and graduated from Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. These businesses now are coming out against the state of North Carolina and pushing back against what the people voted for. Listen carefully. The NBA. Here we go. The sports culture in America, in a statement, suggested it might reconsider plans to host the 2017 All-Star Game in Charlotte. The NCAA also suggested the law might cause it to change plans to hold elements of its annual college basketball tournament and other events in the Old North State, a move that could resonate in this hoops-crazed state. So what have we got now? What you've got now, they're showing you the colors. That's all that means. It means that not only do you have, you expect. I expect the gay, the lesbian community to be pushing for this stuff. I expect that. I expect that. I expect the ACLU to come along and push it too. See, they're filing lawsuits now against North Carolina, against these other states that have come out and said this. I expect that. But now, big business has jumped into the fray, and they are pushing back against North Carolina and against anybody who in any way tries to hinder the gay movement in this country. What's that say to you? What does that say to you?
1 John 5:19 is true.
Uh-huh. The whole world. Yes, it does. It does lie in wickedness. Yes. Yes, it does. Now, I do not believe most of big business cares one way or another when it comes to the issue of what they call, quote unquote, sexual orientation. Although I'm sure there are many that do have an agenda. The bottom line with the business community is what? Money. That's it. Period. And what does the Bible say about the love of money? It's the root of all evil. Proven it to you, doesn't it? It proves it to you. Now, here is another backlash. There's another one. All right, and here we go. Georgia is into this now. I'll read that for you in a moment. The Human Rights Campaign said in a statement Tuesday that some of the state's largest employers, including Nissan Group of North America, Tyson Food Incorporated, MGM Resorts International, Toyota publicly voiced their opposition to the appalling legislation, joining national corporations such as AT&T, IBM, Levi Strauss, Massachusetts Mutual, General Electric, and Hyatt Hotel Corporations, and on and on and on and on the list goes. What's all that mean? What's it mean? It means that the federal government under Barack Obama, now things may change with another president, but the federal government under Barack Obama is pushing hard the gay agenda in this country. That big business is pushing the gay agenda in this country. That the educational establishment is pushing the gay agenda in this country. And of course, the gays are pushing their own agenda. And you have religion pushing the gay agenda in this country. I've told you how the emerging church, as they some say, is very soft on sodomy. It's more than soft. Some of them are promoting it now. And they have evolved into that situation. When Barack Obama ran for president, he said marriage, as far as he was concerned, was one man, one woman. That's what he said. These were his words. Since he has evolved on the issue, I say this tonight, his position then was to get elected. Once he's in office, now you see the true Barack Obama. Bottom line. Can't see that? Can't see that, folks. Got a problem. Yes, sir.
The Presbyterian Church USA in 2011, they voted to begin to ordain homosexuals and lesbians as ministers in their church. They've always supported gay marriage. They've always, for the past 20 years, supported gay rights, and we've got somebody posing as a conservative, and everybody's falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker, who brags about being a member of the Presbyterian Church USA? And people need to wake up. We are being deceived.
Well,
it'll be the biggest coup this country has ever experienced, and conservatism will be crushed.
Let me say this tonight. My observation is that conservatism, when it comes to, let's say, for example, political issues or social issues, is far better than liberalism. It is definitely far better than liberalism. But conservatism is not going to save us.
No.
That's not going to save us.
This will.
That's right. That will. You see, I want to bring this down to where it matters to you and me. What does all this mean to us? And that's what I brought this out here for tonight. I'm bringing it before you for you to understand how this is going to affect your life. And you need to understand that. And when you go to the polls to vote, then you need to be informed and understand why you're voting for so-and-so or whatever you're doing or whatever it is that you do when you go to the polls. Now, we've got North Carolina, we've got Mississippi, we've got Georgia, we've got South Dakota, I think it is, some other states around the country. I haven't been able to check too much into Tennessee. I don't know what Tennessee's position is. As far as this is important. This is very important tonight. A few years ago, they came out with what's called hate speech. That was one of the worst things that ever happened to the First Amendment. Why? Who determines what hate speech is? Who applies it? How do they apply it? Where is it applied? What are the ramifications of it? This unclear, uncertain type thing, hate speech. You could ask 50 different people and you might get 50 different answers as to what constitutes hate speech. See what I mean? But hate speech is a direct assault against the First Amendment. And the First and the Second Amendment of the Constitution, very important. Now, I was listening to Jack Van Impe this morning. I recorded him Sunday. And a few years back, he came out in support of Pope John Paul II. And every time you turn him on, it was Pope John Paul this, Pope John Paul that, Pope, and got so sick and tired of hearing about Pope John Paul. I thought, is he gone plumb off the deep end? Because he started out very good. They called him the Walking Bible. And he was quite remarkable. And he spoke in fundamental churches. He spoke in that one down in Chattanooga, Lee Robertson's church, and was well received. But then he came out and wrote a book a few years back, Heart Disease in the Body of Christ. And it was in reference to the position that fundamentalists take against the Roman Catholics. All right, bottom line is what's happened is that he has begun to evolve again, and he's begun to get his eyes opened, and he is very, very critical of this present pope. And he's very critical of a lot of things that's going on in the Roman Catholic Church, but not just them. He's been doing a series on Islam and the Quran and what the Quran says about killing people. And he quotes the references in the Quran. And he's been doing a good job of it. And on the broadcast I watched today, he was talking about these people you remember what I told you about the Sermon on the Mount? You remember I told you the dispensational aspect of it? Do you remember I made a big deal about that? It fits somewhere. But he quoted Luke chapter number 22, where it says, sell your garment and buy a sword.
Amen.
By quoting that, he was saying there's been a change. We're not in the kingdom of heaven on this earth. This is an entirely different situation today. And he said, he looked into the camera and he said, if any of you jihadists out there, Muslims, want to break into my house, I catch you in my house, I'll send you to your 72 virgins. This coming from an 80-something-year-old man who nearly died a few months back. I thought, now he's coming back in my territory. Yes, sir. I mean, he made it clear as he could that there comes a time when you have to fight. Fight. Fight, people. You have to fight. Now, 1683, Kara Mustafa led an army of 300,000 Muslims against the gates of Vienna. 300,000 Muslims. His point, his mission was to overrun Vienna, Austria, and go right to Rome and literally take Europe and turn it into a Muslim country. That's what he intended to do. That's what he intended to do. Now, if these defenders had not stopped him at the gates of Vienna, he most certainly would have come in with his 300,000 troops, and he would have taken Europe. And had he taken Europe, what would you be worshiping right now? When you go up into the Balkans, you're going up into Slavic people, not Arabs, not Persian. And many of these Slavic people have been converted to Islam. It's a terrible mess what happened in World War II between Antipavlik and the way the Croatians I forget the other group over there, but they fought a war a few years. It was a massacre, genocide. But anyway, these people, the Slavic people, were converted at the edge of the sword. All right. They're just like you. Just like you. Okay. So therefore, they're converted by the edge of the sword. Their children grow up under that. Their children grow up as Muslims. When the Moors went into Spain, the Moors continued. They said, well, we've taken Spain. Let's take Europe. And so they moved north of Europe. And they locked horns with a fellow called Charles Martel at the Battle of Tours. The hammerer. That's exactly right. That's what that Martel means. He's the hammerer. He went into battle with a big hammer and knock your head off, you know. But bottom line is this. They stopped the Moors. And the Moors went back into Spain. And eventually the Moors were driven out of Spain. And essentially Europe ridded itself of Muslims. Now the Muslims are coming back in mass, folks. Now, you know, if somebody tune in us and hear me talking like this, they say, well, that guy back there, good night, he's a racist and a bigot and he's this and he's that. That doesn't mean anything to me. Listen, their judgments, these are insane people. You live in a mad culture. They call evil good and good evil. These are insane people. You can't talk to people like around here. But the bottom line is, if he had not stopped them at the Battle of Tours and they had overrun Europe, what would you be speaking right now? And what would you be worshiping? The point is simply this. They fought. At the Battle of Gates of Vienna, 1683, the King of Poland got on top of a mountain. He got his cannon up there on top of that mountain. And they were still greatly outnumbered. 300,000 troops is a big army. And they were greatly outnumbered. But the King of Poland got up on top of that mountain. And he started firing his cannon off right down on top of their heads. And they defeated them. And they drove them out of there. And so therefore they stopped them. Now folks, here's the thing about this. These weren't Protestants. These were not Protestants driving these Muslims out of Vienna. They weren't Protestants. And make no mistake about it, I am not trying to defend the Catholic Church tonight. They have burned Christians at the stake. They'll answer for it. They'll answer for it. But God in His providence sometimes will use somebody for the glory of God. Amen. Intends to do something to save Christianity, and He meant to save it. He meant to keep Europe from turning into a Muslim country. They fought. Now we can make a choice tonight. We can choose. We can choose to ignore it. And you can't do that much longer because it's going to be right at your doorstep. We can choose to just say, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. Fatalism. Or we can choose to start praying and start communicating with each other and start doing something about this. I wrote down 7 things on the back of an envelope right before I left the house. 7 things right here that's going to affect your life. Let me read them to you. These 7 things will affect your life. Number 1, your children will be subjected to psychological evaluations. So will you. And if you don't pass the psychological test, they take your guns away from you. They'll take away from you your ability to sign a legal document. They'll make a second-class, second-rate citizen out of you. What will be the basis of the psychological evaluation? If you are against sodomy or gay marriage, if you're not part of the scene going on today, they can blacklist you. That's what the psychological evaluation will do. Your children will be told to spy on you at home from school. They'll be told to spy on you. Listen to hear any hate speech going on. Because your hate speech and your prejudices, your bigoted attitude toward gays is going to adversely affect your children. And they don't want children to grow up in that kind of an environment. You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Number two, the marriage ceremony. It's already happening. Marriage ceremony. I don't know what the law is in the state of Tennessee. I hope the state of Tennessee has passed a law that says that a clergyman, a Baptist preacher, Methodist, whatever, has a right to reject a gay marriage. I hope they have. I hope so, and I think they have. Because all the states haven't done that. And if they don't do that, you better believe they will be challenged. Because these people pushing the gay agenda are dead serious about what they're doing. And when they come in on you and they want your pastor to perform a gay wedding, and he refuses to perform a gay wedding, he's broke the law. He can wind up in jail. That will directly affect you. Number three, child custody. Let's say, for example, you've been married for 20 years, you've been married for 30 years, and all of a sudden your wife says, I'm a lesbian. So she leaves you for another woman, and she says, I want the children. And you say, I don't want my kids to grow up in that kind of an environment. Whatever. I don't want that. But living in the culture that you're living in today, you don't have a leg to stand on right now. That's what's going on in the courts. That's already lost that. Child custody. Affirmative action. Now this has nothing to do with black folks. This is affirmative action when it has to do with gay and lesbian. The bottom line is that they will push it to the point to where they feel like they've been discriminated against and they want preferential treatment in the hiring of jobs. You'll get fired from your job if you are not if they have a quota to fill, and they will have quotas to have a quota to fill. See, I don't believe that'll happen. Just watch. Microaggression. That's a term I heard the first time the other day. Somebody says, how many of you know what microaggression is? Most of you don't. Well, I didn't know what it was until the other day. If you put something out that's a picture or a word or something like that, and somebody walks by and they see that, and they get upset over that, then they can accuse you of aggression. In that particular instance, it may be some innocent enough, nothing, but you can be accused of aggression. A microaggression, a small thing, and they can come against you over that. And believe me, the PC police will come after you. Commerce and industry. This is a big one. I read off the names of some of these huge corporations, multinational corporations, that are pushing the gay agenda. What if you work for one of them? Is your job secure? Are you sure it's secure? What if you say something on the job site? You get mad and say something. Just, you know, use a term, a derisive term. For a sodomite, and you use that term on the job site, and somebody hears it, and they report you to the foreman, you're gone. You know why you're gone? Let me tell you why you're gone. Foreman may not bother him, may be big deal, but once it gets out to the PC police, they'll start putting pressure on that company, and they'll fire you. You say, when's that going to happen? Already, folks, your First Amendment is gone. It's already gone. Hate speech, as I said to you earlier. I'm going to watch this. I marvel at how the American public swallow garbage.
Yeah.
And I marvel at how these talking heads on the local TV stations use this tone when they're talking about somebody using hate speech. The America that I was born into in 1946 knew nothing about hate speech. Where did these fascists come from? Where do these anti-American fascists come from that are assaulting your freedom of speech? If you don't have a right, if you don't have a right to come out of your soul and say what you think, then you have no right at all. Because you are being it from that moment on. It's like Nazi Germany in World War II. It's like the Gestapo watching every move you make and every word you say. Do you know that? And it's going to have a chilling effect on the churches. Already is. I get mailed. You wouldn't believe the email I get from people all the time. And they say, "Preacher," some of them even say this, "how do you get away with this?" I don't know how long I'll get away with it. I have no idea. But my soul is more important to me than this life and this world. The government does not own my soul. It's important to me to stand for the truth as long as I live in this world. Amen. That's all that matters to me. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm not going to sell my soul out for mammon and for this world. And I believe that there are millions that feel the same way I do. And when they're forced to it, they'll die before they'll give up their faith in Christ. I believe that they'll pay the supreme price, whatever's necessary. And my job as a pastor, as a minister, is to keep you informed, is to tell you. Because if they do come and get me and some trumped up junk charge against me, like hate speech, they could even say what I said tonight from the pulpit here is hate speech. It's such an ambiguous thing. There's no certainty to it. It's just however you feel, however you define hate speech. And they come, and they come against you and they throw you away. Or the hate crime, and on it goes. And so, the bottom line is this, folks. If the Lord doesn't come and get us soon, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, in any sense, by any measure, you're going to be a second-class citizen in America. You're going to be a second-class citizen. So you might as well get ready to live like that. You're going to live under intimidation. You're going to live under ridicule. You're going to live under laws that are made against what your faith and what you believe and who you are. You're going to live in a country that is dying, rotting at the core. And I don't know if this coming election in November, I don't know. God's the only one that knows. I don't know if anybody that's put in office from the Republican Party. And what you have is Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and John Kasich. And you've got these three men. And they're saying now that Rince Priebus, the chairman of the Republican National Convention, that there's a possibility that they may bring in what's called a white horse. Somebody who didn't even run. Somebody who the establishment wants, that they feel like that they can beat Hillary with. I don't know why they want to beat Hillary. Why beat them? The same thing. I mean, socially, there's not a dime's worth of difference. The only thing that the money man, the billionaire, is concerned about is his bunny, his dollar bill. And he wants a president in there that's going to prosper him and let him make more money. That's all he cares about. That's all it's about, folks. It's not about what you believe. It's not about your convictions. It's not about the vast number of people in this country that are middle class, that make up the middle class. Hard-working people that get up and go to work every day. But I don't know. I wish I did know. I don't know if any one of these three men will do anything that'll better your lot as a Christian in this country. I don't. All I know to do is to get on my face and pray. I need wisdom from God. Pardon? I like him. Yes.
Their government, what they have done, they have created their own political thing here. You don't make any difference. None of you out here makes any difference.
None.
It's like racism. What's racism? Giving the terminology of racism. They cannot do that. There's no such thing as racism. God made one heart, one blood. It's the same color. You make racism, the politicians did, to control you. What it's about is controlling people. Making money is no fun.
Well, if you've got all the money, the next thing you want is control and power. I agree with that. Absolutely. Absolutely. When you're a multi-billionaire, what's another $1 million? It's power. I agree. It's control. Absolutely. It's intoxicating.
Go out and buy yourself a president.
That's true. In every sense of the word, I firmly believe tonight, folks, you have been betrayed. You have been betrayed. And if this November, or not November, but when July in Cleveland, Ohio, isn't it July, the convention, Republican convention? If they bring somebody out there that hasn't even run, you'll know what the Republican Party intends to do. And there will be a mess. There will be a mess like you would not believe of the millions of people that have gone and voted and their candidate is not even considered. And they bring out their own. That's bad news. Yes, sir.
Pastor, I strongly believe more and more daily that with the number of arms and ammunition that has come into the hands of the rank and file of we, the citizens, that there only takes, I don't know, just one incident somewhere like that shot once heard around the world.
Yeah.
That to start a nationwide armed rebellion or a revolt. I mean, there's enough. If we catch fire with that, I mean, here comes the military. But, well, I have more guns now than I have ever owned.
And don't tell them.
And I'm going every room everywhere, and there's some there, and yeah. And I'm not going to give those back. I paid money for them.
Do you know what they did in Australia? They confiscated every weapon in that country, Australia. Yeah, they did. They sure did. You know what happened to the crime rate in Australia? Sure did. Sure did. You remember what Jack Van Impe said? I'll send you to your 72 virgins. I hadn't heard a preacher say that on TV. I thought, amen. Amen, amen, amen. He said, you come into my house, I'll send you straight to your 72 virgins. The best thing to do in a case like that is wrap them up in pig skins and pour pig blood on them. That's mean, isn't it? You know what Black Jack Pershing did back there in Philippines in the early part of the 1900s? He was fighting these Muslims in the Philippines. He was fighting them. Of course, some say this is not true. Well, it's up to you to believe it or not. But he was fighting the Muslims in the Philippines. And he decided on a way, he found out the real vulnerability. That is, they think that if they're contaminated with a pig, that they'll go to hell. They won't get their 72 virgins. So he started wrapping them up in pig skins when he killed them. And then he would send some back to the rest of them to tell them what he had just done. And he stopped. It stopped him. Just a few months ago, the ISIS was fighting the Kurds, and the Kurdish women were out there fighting them. There's quite a story about these Kurdish women. I mean, these are courageous women, warriors. Here's the kicker: if a Muslim is killed by a woman, he doesn't get his 72 virgins. He goes to hell. And it scared him to death. And it really affected the morale of these Muslims to think that they would be fighting against women. You see, everybody's got an Achilles heel. There's a weakness in there somewhere. And these Kurdish women, man, I mean, they went right on the front lines. They locked and loaded. They went there head to head and they fought them, boy. They sure did. They fought them. And I say, God bless them. And I say this, it may come to that here too. You may have to do it here. You may have to fight them here if they come in and they come in here and they bring them in by the bus load and the truck load and they try, like they are in Germany, they're raping people over there, they're killing them, and those Germans are reacting violently. You wouldn't believe how these European countries are acting. One country has expelled them.
Norway.
They kicked them out. They sure did. They kicked them out.
They've got a handy out on that, though. The politically correct media over there calls them neo-Nazis.
Oh, sure. They've got a label for everybody.
Same thing going on in Britain. It's going on all over Europe.
Sure is.
Everywhere that the Muslim population has risen to a certain point, they have taken over of cities that got screwed, just like Dearborn, Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's a Muslim enclave.
Mm-hmm. France of the enrollment in the French military have went through the roof. They haven't had the draft, but there's been so many of the French youth now that have come forward joining the
I saw that. And it'll happen the same way here too. If it comes in, they start doing it here. If they may have a nuclear weapon. If they detonate a nuclear weapon, folks, God forbid that it should happen. God forbid. But if they do have, say, a tactical nuclear weapon, and they kill 15, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people, which you could easily do with a nuclear weapon like that, what do you think America's attitude toward Muslims would be?
The PC won't have a chance.
They wouldn't have a prayer. 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 And I just pray that we get out of here before all that happens.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Well, I've delivered my soul to you tonight. I don't hate anybody. I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I'm going to preach the truth. And that's all that matters to me, because that's what I have to give an account for. I don't have to give an account of CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, CNN. That's nothing. I have to give an account to God. I have to give an account to the Almighty, and that's what matters to me tonight. Father, in thy holy name, Lord, I've said what you laid upon my heart. I pray you'd bless it now, and pray you'd help folks. I pray you, Lord, if anything else, you'd wake people up, Lord, and remind them where we came from, who we are, and let us not continue to be browbeaten and intimidated by this PC crowd, by this lying bunch of fascist devils that are trying to destroy everything that's good about America. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I'm thankful that we've got this place, a church. And Lord, it wasn't given to us. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. And then on the beaches of Normandy, the blood was shed that we'd still have this freedom of speech and preaching the Word of God. And we've forgotten what's happened, the great price that was paid for who we are and what we are tonight. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake I ask it. And amen. Amen. God bless you.